This episode has been sitting on my hard drive for probably 2 years now, so I'm going to record a quick and dirty intro just so I can get it out. Here's the deal. About, I don't know, 2-3 episodes ago, I did this experiment where I pre-recorded a whole bunch of reviews, and given the fact that I've only put out, 3 or 4 episodes since then, it didn't really work. So this is basically the dump of all the other reviews that I pre-recorded, just in the order that I did it. There's no rhyme or reason to it, there's no fanfare. We're just gonna get right into it. My name is Take Walker, and I love music, and this is episode 24 of I Love Music. And we begin with Sigh No More by Mumford & Sons. I've liked what I've heard from these guys so far, so I'm not sure how I passed over their album. It was Grammy-nominated, after all. The Cave, the second track, is of course the lead-off single. Or at least, it's the only one I really remember hearing. Roll Away Your Stone is a pretty amazing piece of bluegrass, something I totally was not expecting. This goes back and forth between awesome and okay, but it's never bad. And I just found out I lost my job, so I'm not finishing this review. That was from back in July of 2011. Next, I want to talk about Lady Gaga, finally checking her out for reals. I was surprised to find out that her latest album is actually her third. So we begin with The Fame. I'm hearing most of these songs for the umpteenth time, which is what happens when listening to a major pop star. Just Dance is the opener and definitely one of my favorites. Love Game is anything but, though I kind of like Paparazzi. It's really amazing just how strong her songs are, even though I think I prefer the higher energy dance remixes myself. Despite having all the major singles grouped together at the beginning, the album stands up to the end. It's not something I want to own mind, but it's understandable why she's at the top of the game right now. The follow-up, The Fame Monster, is actually an EP of 5 singles and 3 not singles, starting with Bad Romance, which is one of the most amazing songs ever just because it is what it is. I really hate Alejandro. Monster is pretty good, it's taking up the freakier lyrical subjects that Lady Gaga's become famous for. I mean, if there's any reason I like her, that's it. Speechless sounds like fucking country, what the hell. Telephone is a surprisingly strong song, despite my misgivings as to the music video. Definitely needs less Beyonce, though. So Happy I Could Die is awesome because it's about masturbating. This album isn't very strong, though, with a lot more to hate than her debut. Finally, we hit this year's release, Born This Way, and holy fuck do I hate the title track, which makes me feel bad because it's got a good message. I also really hate Judas, the second single, because of the god-awful vocal breaks. That word just does not work in that way. However, the opener, Marry the Night, is a really surprising song, alternating plaintive and powerful, with a good message and a great beat. Government Hooker is none of those things. I think she's really hit her stride as far as who she's presenting herself to be, but unfortunately that seems to have really impacted the songwriting as far as things like melody go. I will give her props for singing prominently in both Spanish and German. Scheibe, the German song, is pretty good too. Bloody Mary sounds a lot like Paparazzi. I am surprised at the amount of non-blasphemous religious imagery in this album, though. Black Jesus is actually really good, as are Bad Kids in Fashion of His Love, making a knockout punch in the middle of the record, and I just love the title, Highway Unicorn. You and I is unfortunately country. There's a lot going on in this album, and it all comes down to the quality of the songs themselves. So, I totally called it. Whatever you feel about her, the fact is Lady Gaga is the pop force du jour. She's going to be this decade's Madonna and Britney Spears, hopefully without the latter's breakdown and total general suckage. Her music has taken a turn for the uplifting, directed at the oppressed and the downtrodden, and that's not something pop music has ever really had, at least not exclusively, and certainly not in the last 10 years or so. That's what's best about her, I think. The Fame gets a 7 out of 10, Fame Monster gets a 6, and Born This Way gets a 6.5. Next, I moved a bunch of reviews up because they're what I ended up getting from Borders during their going out of business sale. Rest in peace, Borders. First is the self-titled album by Stone Temple Pilots. Man, do I love me some STP. They made one good album in my estimation, but Damned If Core isn't one of the best rock albums I own. When I heard this album had been released, I had to go out, get it, and listen to it immediately. This is definitely full-on contemporary alternative without the brashness of Core, but also shying away from the out-and-out popness of Shangri-La-Di-Da. There are some blues and country elements, not exactly something STP are really known for. They're taking inspiration from a lot of different places. I hear a lot of the Beatles in here, if you can believe it. Unrelated, a lot of the song titles include food, and Scott Weiland sings Bagman to the tune of Batman. Actually, on that note, it seems that Scott Weiland has decided to start singing rather than groaning. It's not that I didn't appreciate his groaning, but he's really a good singer. He's really never needed to hide or disguise his voice. As a Pilots album, I'm not quite sure what to make of it, but taken as a straight-up rock record, this is awesome. I think I'll only grow to like it more the more I hear it. It's very well constructed. I think there's enough variation to keep the album moving throughout, and plenty of energy and catchy choruses to make it really enjoyable. Do you ever notice I tend to spend lots and lots of time analyzing albums by bands I really like? Standouts include Between the Lines, which is the first single, Dare If You Dare, Cinnamon, Fast As I Can, and First Kiss on Mars. 8.5 out of 10. Next is The Asylum by Disturbed. Hold on to your butts, Disturbed is back, hot after the pulse-pounding awesome fest that was Inside the Fire. I think that record really kicked them back into form. It is a well-made collection of fairly memorable songs that longtime fans will no doubt enjoy. And when I say memorable, I don't mean that they're all instant hits. It's more that they're the kind of songs you won't get tired of listening to time and time again. Another Way to Die is, of course, a really strong entry, being the first single, which I've heard for the past 2 months or so. It's a pretty good environmental diatribe, to be honest, and it's followed by a song ranting against Holocaust deniers called Never Again. Heavy. Also really good. There's also a cover at the end, completely completely out of left field. U2's I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. It's amazing. You won't believe it until you hear it. It's a really surprising album because while it's not amazing overall, it's very consistent and it also carries with it some good messages. That's all I ever ask for, you know? 8 out of 10. Next is High Five Soup by the Aquabats. The Aquabats, aka the greatest superhero ska band in the world, are finally back. It opens on Shark Fighter, which suggests that they are indeed in full form. The last album of theirs I listened to, Versus the Floating Eye of Death, was far less ska and more just random shit. It features the line, "He isn't mean, he's just getting even." This is awesome. The Legend Is True is just a pretty sweet song. It's like the ska-punk version of epic metal. Radio Down features, of all people, Biz Markie, aka the worst singer ever. Though, he's actually not so bad. It's got a very calm, tropical feel. It also includes a line from Billy Idol's Dancing With Myself. So, this is not exactly back in full form, as there's very little ska on the album overall, but it feels more like a classic Aquabats album, even if a lot of it is party music. See also Hey Homies. Wait, what? Strong Bad and Homestar singing on track 10. This is officially the greatest album ever made. No, seriously, this is actually a pretty solid album, and I'm glad to hear something new from the Aquabats after so long. I'd recommend it. 8.5 out of 10. Also on that note, the Aquabats have a show on the Hub, and I really need to watch it sometime. Next is Nothing Personal by All Time Low. Time for some more good pop punk. It's a fun ride that gets a little introspective near the end. Standouts include Weightless, Break Your Little Heart, Damned If I Do Ya, Damned If I Don't, Hello Brooklyn, Too Much, and Keep the Change, You Filthy Animal. So, like, a good two-thirds of the album there. 8.5 out of 10. Next is Tear the World Down by We Are the Fallen. Ooh, good goth music. This is like Fallen-era Evanescence minus the new metal influence. Oh hey, duh, that's because half the members are from Evanescence, and the band's name is an allusion to that very album. Go Ben Moody, I told you Avril Lavigne was not meant for you. And amazingly, the singer finished 6th on American Idol in 2001. How'd she end up here? She's got a really good range, though, hitting high notes like Amy Lee, and also mixing in some more deep and rich tones. This is, without a doubt, the long-awaited follow-up to Fallen that I have been waiting so long for. Ladies and gentlemen, meet the new face of gothic rock. Standouts include Bury Me Alive, Burn, and quite a few others. This is one of those albums that you just sit back and listen to and enjoy, not so much with picking out songs. 9 out of 10. Next is Fixed at Zero by VersaEmerge. From track 1, VersaEmerge come off as a far less gothy flyleaf, so hard rock, female-fronted, with symphonic backing. While the songs are all pretty much equal in terms of quality and thus none stand out, the fact is, this makes for a very enjoyable and listenable album. I approve. I'm glad to finally hear something I like, because it's been a while. 8 out of 10. That obviously was taken from further down in the notes. And last out of this section is Don't Turn Away by Face to Face. I think this is the last album by them that I've gotten my hands on. I've always said Face to Face are my favorite punk band, and although I haven't liked all their records equally after purchase, I do still have quite a few. It's a pretty standard offering from them. Their tracks tend to blend together, and that's just how I like it. Disconnected is pretty good, and Walk Away is a standout too. 7.5 out of 10, still a good listen. And now, we get into the actual reviews from where I left off on this thing. Starting with Chickenfoot's self-titled album. Can I get a hell yeah for stupidest band name ever? Chickenfoot is a supergroup consisting of Sammy Hagar and a bunch of guys I've never heard of, some other guy from Van Halen, someone from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and somebody else. Their debut album has done surprisingly well on the charts, so I had to find out what all the fuss is about. The end result is bluesy hard rock. The lyrics are the kind of thing that you'd expect with party rock, vis-a-vis I Wanna Be Your Hoochie Coochie Man. You kinda have to wonder if Diamond Dave might have come up with better. 5 out of 10. Next is Ben Folds and the Western Australian Symphony Orchestra live in Perth. Yes, it's another excellent live album from Ben Folds, the only guy whose live albums are worth listening to, other than Harry Belafonte. It features a number of songs like Fred Jones Part 2 and Zack and Sarah, which were on Ben Folds Live, as well as a few songs like Smoke and Evaporated, which I've never heard of. The overall album isn't quite as good as Ben Folds Live, but the addition of the orchestra and the arrangements done by local composers really make this an entirely original performance. It's also worth hearing for a lot of the commentary in between songs, not to mention his continual thanking of various sections in the orchestra, messing with the audience after Not the Same, and giving directions to the orchestra for a rousing orchestral rendition of Rock This Bitch. 9 out of 10. And speaking of Ben Folds, he made a side project in the late 90s called Fear of Pop. It was meant to be an experimental kind of thing, producing the sort of music that needs to be appreciated rather than enjoyed. I think I need to go track by track on this. We start off with Fear of Pop, which is raucous and clashy and features a lot of screaming, especially of the title. This leads into the far more melodic Cops with a K, which sounds like a cop chase on scene on acid. The aptly titled Slow Jam 98 follows, and ends in Chirping Crickets, which carry into the next short track, Blink. We finally get to the single, if you could call it that, In Love, featuring William Shatner, which actually performed live on Conan O'Brien once. It's actually a fairly good song, featuring Ben singing ephemerally beneath Shatner's monologue. He gets a little melodramatic in the middle, but honestly, if he didn't, would you believe it was really Shatner? There's a short interlude, and then another quite enjoyable track, Avery M. Powers Memorial Beltway, which has a lot of ba-ba-ba and is sort of a set above elevator music in terms of feel. Paid My Money gets its title from Ben Folds ranting about having paid his money and wanting to see the whole movie. It's frenetic and funky and pretty darn goofy all around. Rubber Sled is apparently chock full of Ben Folds 5 references, like a sped up version of Brick playing in the background of the opening skit. The song itself is psychedelic and surreal and reminds me of Squirrel Nut Zippers. There's a dulcimer and synthesized orchestral hits. I am now questioning my sanity. Root to This, the last full song, features Ben's future ex-wife doing a lot of yelling. It's very girl punk. We finish with Still in Love, a reprise of In Love, with William Shatner once again. I think I want this album. I don't know why yet. 8 out of 10. Continuing on with more Ben Folds songs, we have Lonely Avenue, where Ben Folds adds music and melody to Nick Hornby's words. You might know Nick Hornby if you mentioned novels like High Fidelity, About a Boy, and Fever Pitch, at least two of which I would never have heard of if not for the movies made from them. So he's collaborating with Ben Folds, writing lyrics for Ben to write music to, as the long-winded title suggests. So how does it stack up? Well, the opener is just under 2 minutes of what I'd call experimental rock, but this gives way quickly to something that really sounds like a Ben Folds song, albeit without any actual rhyming. There's a song about Levi Johnson, Bristol Paley's baby daddy. I'll hand it to Ben Folds. This is an admirable attempt, but as an experiment, I think it's kind of on the failed side of things. I don't blame him, though. It's all that damn avant-garde novelist's fault. My favorite tracks were Picture Windows and Claire's Ninth. 6 out of 10. Next is Veneer by Jose Gonzalez. This is an album consisting of one guy playing acoustic guitar and singing really, really quiet and mumbly. This goes beyond shoegaze. I'm fairly certain he's singing with his head beneath the floorboards. And so I'm sitting here wondering why I downloaded this crap, and then I find out. Track 4, Heartbeats, is a cover of a song originally by The Knife. It was featured in a commercial or an online video or something, and it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, the melody of the song itself is amazing, and the original is quite good, but Jose takes it to the next level, adding layers of emotion and heartbreak into it. The album sort of picks up after that one. He's not quite so mumbly, and while there are other songs besides Heartbeats that are worth hearing, there aren't many. It is, of course, very worth hearing that song. 5 out of 10. Next is a legacy review of Flickerstick. Flickerstick rose to fame at the beginning of this decade, last decade actually, by winning the only reality show I ever watched, VH1's Bands on the Run. It featured a bunch of bands, most of them really, really shitty, going to different cities, engaging in retarded contests with each other, and then trying to book and play shows. It'd have battles of the bands every now and again that would eliminate one of the bands. A Flickerstick I took an immediate liking to. Sure, they were the lazy, boozing layabouts, but they really knew how to rock, and when I say rock, I mean compose 6-minute songs with atmospheric guitars and soaring vocals, as well as your standard 3-minute pop riff rock single. They won, and I was glad, because I really hated the band that came in second. They were seriously like the Dick Dastardly of the show, whereas Flickerstick were like Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. So the end result was that Flickerstick got signed to Epic Records and had a single, the video for which was played maybe twice on VH1, since the album reached like nothing on the charts. But they said fuck it and went on being an indie band, which is pretty damn cool. The title of that first album was Welcoming Home the Astronauts, which I actually once had two copies of, because the version released through Epic was actually changed slightly from the original released on 226 Records. They'd taken out one song, Right Way to Fly, and added in the single Smile, which, while a pretty decent song, is also kind of stupid, because it's just the same verse and chorus repeated twice. Seriously, that's it. And there are way better songs on the album. Also, they had remastered or maybe even re-recorded a number of songs, most notably Coke, wherein they changed the line, Come on, I wanna buy the world a Coke and lie here naked with my girl, to Taken with my girl. But I'm gonna talk about the original here. Honestly, there is one song that I don't really like on this album, and it's in the middle near the end, and it's easy to overlook. Pretty much every other song on the album is worth listening to, from the stadium busters like Life with Love We Will Survive to the more overlooked songs like Right Way to Fly and Sorry Wrong Trajectory. If you want to know what Flickerstick is about, go check out www.theconnection.com and see if you can't get a copy of the original album. Of course, Flickerstick's story doesn't end there. They then released a live album causing a catastrophe, which was pretty much just everything from Welcoming Home the Astronauts played live. It does have one song that you can only get on that album, which is worth hearing, that being Believe. The live album was followed up by the EP To Madagascar and Back, which has the distinction of being the only EP in my collection. It took a while, but the songs grew on me. What I enjoyed more was the DVD that comes with it. That's the reason I've kept it so long. Unfortunately, that's about where the best of Flickerstick ends. They did another full-length LP titled Tarantula, but aside from Catholic Scars and Chocolate Bars and two songs that appear on the EP, it was pretty forgettable. I owned it for a while, but dumped it once I'd figured that out. I don't know if Flickerstick is doing anything right now. Oh, according to Wikipedia, they broke up last year. So you have no idea how often I've been looking up bands lately only to find out that happened. They apparently released another live album. I'll have to see if I can't find it. Next is Popgasm by Sunrise Avenue.
Popgasm starts you off with a powerful rock sound featuring a charming accent and uplifting, mildly spiritual lyrics. The first half or so of this album can be described in precisely those terms, and songs like Dream Like a Child, Rising Sun, and The Whole Story are thoroughly enjoyable, with Pop songwriting on the level of Poets of the Fall. Now, normally when a record falls out of that initial adrenaline rush of good songwriting, it simply descends into the doldrums of filler tracks. Popgasm, on the other hand, takes a turn for the decidedly bizarre, with Birds and the Bees, a single mind you, sounding like something out of Talking Heads or Oingo Boingo. This is not meant in any way to be a dig at either of those bands, but you can imagine my surprise and confusion on hearing something like that on an album like this. It really killed the entire thing for me, the next few tracks going by unnoticed, and the final sounding a lot like Birds and the Bees. 6.5 out of 10. Next is You're Awful, I Love You by Ludo. I got this album for precisely one song, which I've been hearing on my local alt-rock station, but more on that in a minute. Ludo is a punk outfit that seems to swing back and forth between the golden era of 90s pop-punk and a more modern emo sound. The opening, Love Me Dead, lines more with the latter, and honestly, the album has a tendency to get really whiny and pretentious. Now back to the song I was looking for. Go-Getter Greg, song number 9, is a hilarious piece of pop-punk and set my expectations completely differently for this album, so I'm pretty disappointed with how this is turning out, despite liking Love Me Dead, Please, and Such As It Ends. Neither the sound or the feel of the album are what I was expecting at all, but you really need to listen to Go-Getter Greg if you haven't heard it yet. It's pretty amazing. 7 out of 10. As an aside, the video for Love Me Dead is hilarious and frenetic, as the band and others act out the various lines of the song in totally over-the-top way. Next is Accelerate by R.E.M. Boy, I wrote this a couple of years before they broke up. Hey, have I talked about R.E.M. before? I forget. They're like U2, Green Day, etc. as far as what I like, although I do actually own two of their albums aside from their greatest hits, namely Document and Out of Time. Accelerate is their newest, and I keep telling myself that I've already listened to it, though I don't think that's the case. It starts off uncharacteristically hard and clashy for R.E.M. I've been hearing the first single, Supernatural Super Serious, on that aforementioned alt-rock station, and for a while I had a hard time believing it was actually R.E.M. They're delving into near punk rock territory here. Michael Stipe's singing is very emotional, or maybe the better word is engaged. I agree with the critics who say this is far better than their last album. Around the Sun was, like most of their albums, unfortunately entirely forgettable. Even the filler on this record is pretty fun to listen to. Until the Day is Done, which I think is one of the singles, reminds me a lot of their earlier work, being a slow acoustic song. The last track is kind of weird, which I oddly expected. Overall, not a bad entry into their catalog, 7 out of 10. And using the magic of time travel, I'm going to talk about Collapse Into Now. This is an NPR first listen, surprisingly. I mean, since when do they preview releases from nationally known acts, right? This does not start out promisingly, with two songs I can only describe as music. Uberlin is the first that really stands out, but it's not that great, considering. It Happened Today is a step up, at least it's upbeat if nothing else, and has a classic non-lyrical R.E.M. outro. Mine Smell Like Honey reminds me immediately of Bad Day off their Greatest Hits album. The hilariously titled Alligator Aviator Autopilot Antimatter is the first track, and here we're near the end of the album, that really sounds like true R.E.M., at least the kind that I really enjoy. It's high energy and bombastic, not to mention it features a female backing vocalist. Definitely the best track on the album, far and away, and it's a shame it takes so long to get to it. Collapse Into Now could really use more songs like that one. That Someone Is You is a great follow-up, entirely on the same level, and Blue is actually a very nice ending. Reminiscent of Belong, it segues into a reprise of the opener, which somehow sounds much better this time around and brings the album to a circular close. Sadly, despite that 1-2 punch at the end, this is a pretty forgettable album. I didn't expect much, considering that most of their work over the past decade has been so forgettable. 5.5 out of 10. Next is Mind Control by Tantric. I've been following Tantric for a while, which is why the opening of this album surprises me so much. It's got a much heavier guitar sound with progressive feel during the chorus. The lead singer is still here with his froggy voice, but it sounds as though the rest of the band is joining in with him, which makes them sound like a completely different band. They're definitely taking a harder approach than their standard acoustic guitar-driven stuff of the past. The third track, Coming Undone, even forked with elements of hardcore. I kind of like the changes, but on the other hand, this album is seriously lacking in standout tracks. Check out the awesome guitar instrumental Intermezzo, though. I like the new sound, but it's rather two steps forward and four steps back. 6.5 out of 10. I just want to say, I finished listening to the deluxe version of Underdog Alma Mater by Forever the Sickest Kids, which features a 7-second spoken outro consisting entirely of one of the band members quoting Strong Bad. They may be your standard millennial emo punk band, but this officially cements them as awesome.
And finally,
Waya by Amr Diab. Amr Diab is an Arabic pop singer who I was first introduced to via his contribution to the Shakira song Ojo Sassi. It's a really good song, go find it. But since then I've heard a number of Amr's albums, and I'm slowly coming to the conclusion that I really, really like his music. I mean, I feel silly trying to review an album in a language I don't know, but I like what I hear. I would suppose that he sings in a very traditional style, but fuck if I really know. He's got a clear voice and puts a lot of emotion and vibrato into his vocals. The backing instrumentation ranges from danceable to balladic, and is pretty much what you'd expect from a pop album, but of course isn't the focus. The other record of his that I recall is El Aladi, which was from a couple years ago and didn't strike me quite so well, despite the driving and emotional Neul A, which I still have. Y is overall more powerful and more cohesive, and those are things I look for in albums regardless of their language. Standouts include the title track, Ella Habibi, and Ala Ala Hobakenta, which forms a knockout punch, followed by the gripping Yehemak Fe'e, and the highly danceable Helwal Ayam. The album kind of falls apart after that, but what you've got is a very strong opening half. I'm sure the rest is great for Arabic speakers. 7 out of 10.
So that's it. If you listen this far, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to I Love Music, for following along with me all these years through the horrible hiatuses and my lack of direction. This is going to be the last episode under the old format. Episode 25 will be the reboot. I don't know when it'll happen, but hopefully it'll be worth waiting for. I'll see you guys then.
The standouts include Weightless.
Timber!